Let's just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee this morning, and then through that precious and all-worthy name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we pray that as we come to worship Thee today, may we know Thy help, may we feel Thy presence, and may we hear the voice of the Lord today. Speak with us, speak to us, O God, we pray, and may we be very conscious that God is amongst us. Hear and answer prayer. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. We're going to join together in the words of 443. The words will be on the screen. The page is 355 if you have a copy of our own hymn book. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. We'll stand as we sing this opening hymn, please. Stand and sing. Bow our heads and our hearts again in the Lord's presence. Let's seek His face this morning as we come into His presence. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee today in and through that precious and all-worthy name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we thank Thee today for the One who is our Saviour, the One who is our Mediator, our Advocate, at the Father's right hand. We rejoice, O God, today that we have one in the heavens who prays for us. We praise Thee, Lord, today that it is on His merits and the standing of Christ alone that we can come and address Thee as our Father And Heavenly Father, we look to Thee today. We pray for Thy help. We ask, O God, that You'd be pleased to come and be one of our number. Lord, as we would gather ourselves in this service of worship today, O God, we pray that You'd be pleased, Lord, to presence Thyself with us. And Lord, may we be very conscious, even, Lord, as John of old was there in the Isle of Patmos, of being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Lord, help us to worship Thee. O God, we pray that You'll guide us and direct us and lead us into true worship this morning. Not merely, Lord, with our lips, but with our hearts. O God, we pray that You'll speak to us. We ask, O God, You'll come. And Lord, move amongst us today. O God, we thank Thee for Your goodness and for Your mercy. We rejoice, O Lord, for Thy presence with us today. We thank the Lord for health and for strength that You've given to us to be in the house of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that even as we come to Thee, may we realize once again and acknowledge that every good and every perfect gift is from Thee. And so, our Father, we pray that You'll bless us. Lord, we need Thee. Come amongst us, we pray. Remember, Lord, all who have gathered here in the house of worship today. We thank the Lord for all who have been enabled to come together for this time where we would, Lord, lift our hearts to Thee. Encourage every heart today. And Lord, we pray that we might be very conscious that God is amongst us. We pray, Lord, today for those who cannot gather with us. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell. Touch them in their bodies at this time and draw very near to them, O God, we ask. Heavenly Father, we pray especially for those who need that special touch from Thee. We pray, Lord, today for Laura. Lord, draw near to her. Touch her, strengthen her in her body at this time, we pray. And remember all of the family. We pray, Lord, for Sammy today. Lord, draw very near to Thy child in hospital as well. Lord, we pray that You'll lay Thy healing hand upon him. Remember Irene and all of the family. We commit them to Thee. And Lord, all who need Thy care. Lord, all who need the touch of the Master's hand. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today that Thou art the great physician. And so, Lord, we look to Thee. And Lord, be pleased, Lord, to do good toward those who need Thee at this time especially. Remember, Lord, those who are serving Thee in far-off lands. Remember, Lord, every missionary today. Remember the persecuted church. Lord, we pray that You'll bless Thy people wherever they would gather in Thy name. And Lord, we pray that the Word of God as it goes forth, we pray, Lord, to be used and owned of Thee. We pray, Lord, today for those who are serving Thee across our own land. Remember, Lord, those in our own our denomination. Lord, we pray that You be pleased to bless Thy servants. Remember across onto the mainland and England and Scotland and Wales, down into the south of Ireland. Remember that it'll work there in the Isle of Man as well. And Lord, we pray today for our brother Philip. Lord, as he would preach the word there in London, continue to be with him, help him, give him many souls for his labor, O God, we pray, and help him and Valentina and the family, Lord, as they would settle into their work and into that new area. Heavenly Father, we pray for, Lord, the word that has gone forth even to the boys and girls this morning, to the young people in the Bible class. Lord, we pray You'll speak on. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might be very conscious, Lord, of God speaking in the lives and working in the lives of all of our young people and children at this time. Remember, in Hollywood this afternoon, bless Thy word, O God, we pray. And so, our Father, we look to Thee. Remember throughout this day. We pray, Lord, for the gospel service tonight. Come up with us again. Bless, Lord, those who'll come to take part. Remember especially Thy servant as he'd come to open the Scriptures of truth. Lord, use him. And Lord, bring many others under the sound of the Word of God tonight. Lord, we pray that You'll be pleased to turn our land, turn our nation back to God. And Lord, do something amongst us, we pray. And do it for Thy glory and for Thine honor alone. So hear and answer prayer and be with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this morning to the New Testament and to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter and the chapter 1, please. 1 Peter and the chapter number 1. Continuing on with our study in the help for hurting Christians, and we want to look today at the subject of handling life's hardships. Let's read together the words of 1 Peter chapter 1, please. And we will commence reading at the opening verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll read to the end of verse 12. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word for his name's sake. Let me at this stage welcome you all along to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you all in the house of God, and we welcome you in the Savior's precious name, and thank you for being with us today. Also, those who are watching online, we welcome you as well this morning. Can I just go through the announcements, please, at this stage? And do remember that we have our Hollywood Sunday School at 2:30 this afternoon. Do pray for the children as they gather there in the community centre in Redburn. Then we have our pre-service prayer meeting this evening again at 6 p.m. Encouraged to see a good number gathered into the prayer meeting this morning. And so if you can come for 6 o'clock, we'll meet in the first floor room at 6 p.m. for a season of prayer. Then we have the first of our special Christmas services tonight at 6:30, and we encourage you to come join with us tonight, and why not invite someone along to the special Christmas service tonight at 6:30. The Lockhart family will be along to sing. Our brother Philip Bowles will also be here to sing, and he will also be preaching tonight. So we're looking forward to a blessed time. You come, be one of our number, and seek to bring others with you as well if you can. Tuesday night at 7 p.m. we have the Explorers Club for the boys and girls. And then on Thursday night we have our Bible study and prayer meeting. And as we said Thursday past, we're having the Reverend Craig Dennison back with us on Thursday evening. And he's dealing with the subject of the English Standard Version and the errors of the English Standard Version of Scripture. It is a version that is widely used by many evangelical Christians. And we want to, or our brother will look at that subject and pray that the Lord will bless him, come and be instructed as to the errors of this version of Scripture. Then on Friday night, 8 o'clock, we have our final youth fellowship. And so young people, please do remember that. That's this Friday at 8. Saturday morning from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., that will be the Sunday School Christmas party for the Sunday School here in Sandown and also in Hollywood. That will be held over in the Martyrs in the Jubilee Hall there. So children, teachers, remember that please, from 11 on Saturday morning to 1 p.m. in the afternoon, the Christmas party over in the Martyrs. Next Lord's Day at 10:15, the Sunday School and the Bible class. At 11 o'clock, we have the season of prayer. Then our morning worship at 11:30, Hollywood Sunday School 2:30. And then we have next Sunday evening, our special Christmas family service. Raymond and Mark Williamson will be here to take part. And also our sister Judith Beattie will be here to sing. And then we're having a special testimony from our brother, Mr. Stephen walls. Stephen and his wife Claire, very early on in Claire's pregnancy of their first child, were told that their little one was what they termed not viable, and so they were encouraged to abort the little one. But their faith told them that they could not do such a thing, and their little boy Reuben has developed well. And while he has many issues, yet the Lord has been pleased to bless him. And so Stephen will be along to tell us and testify of God's grace, to how the Lord helped them through a very difficult time and how the Lord continues to help them. So do remember that next Sunday evening, 6:30, for that special family service. Do please remember those who are unwell in the congregation at this time. Good to see those with us again who haven't been unwell and back with us in the house of God. But remember those who continue to be unwell. Remember especially those who are in hospital. Our sister Laura Gilpin is in hospital. Please do remember Laura at this time. And also our brother Sammy Lewis. Remember Sammy. The Lord will touch these, his servants, and they'll know healing in their bodies very, very soon. I know the families all appreciate your prayers for them. Also, the Reverend Kevin McLeod contacted me during the week and asked me to pass on to you, to the congregation, your prayers for him and for his wife and their family over recent years. As you will know, just a few years back, just over a year ago actually, the Reverend McLeod took a very serious stroke and was having to give up the ministry. Then, as a result of that, he is doing much better. And while he has retired from the full-time pastorate now, yet he is able to speak a little. We're thankful to the Lord for how he has answered prayer. So he has asked me to thank the congregation here in Sandown for your prayers, and do continue to remember him in your prayers, please. Remember, there are no offerings being taken up at this stage, but you can leave your tithes and offerings in the box as you leave. We're going to turn to a Christmas carol this time before we come to the Word of God. This is a new one, well, new to some possibly. Joy has dawned upon the world, promise from creation, God's salvation now unfurled, hope for every nation. So the men folk will probably remember this. We sang it a few years ago, so we're looking really to the male voice choir for your help in this especially. And we'll maybe get Gillian, if you wouldn't mind playing through the tune for us, and then we'll have a go at the first few verses, please. Thank you. Good, brisk, steady tune, and thank you, Gillian, for that. So let's stand together. We'll try verse one. We'll try all four verses. We'll just keep on going with it. We'll stand together as we sing this. good singing. Thank you very much. We're turning back again, please, to the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. And we want this morning to look at the subject of handling life's hardships. Verse number 7 in 1 Peter chapter 1 says that the trial of your faith, the trial of your faith. Before we come to God's Word, can we still our hearts again, please, in His presence and ask for His help? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for Thy goodness. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy Word. We pray, Lord, that now as we come to the Word of God, Lord, that You'll speak to all of our hearts. Lord, teach us, instruct us. We ask, O God, that we might be very conscious that God is with us today. Lord, hear and answer prayer. Be with us now. Continue, Lord, Your hand upon us, Lord. We ask, O God, that You'll empty us all of self. Fill us with the Holy Ghost and fill us with power. Lord, this day we might hear the voice of God. And Lord, that we might feel Thy presence. So be with us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Joseph Parker, a preacher and theologian of the late 1800s, once said to a group of his Bible students, "Preach to the suffering, and you will never lack a congregation." Because he said, "There is a broken heart in every pew." Into every life, into every home, into every family comes a time of hardship and suffering. It comes in various ways. It comes at different stages in our lives, yet suffering and hardship is a common thread that runs throughout every life and every home. And as the Apostle Peter writes his letter, he does so to a people who are enduring great hardships in their lives. The city of Rome was burned in AD 64. Nero the emperor was the most likely suspect. But the cruel Nero sought to deflect attention away from himself and sought to use the church, the people of God in Rome at that time, as a scapegoat to cover his actions. And he found in the people of God the scapegoat that he needed. And he blamed them for burning the great city of Rome. And he accused the Christians of starting the fire that destroyed the city. And what started out as slander and lies descended very quickly into outright persecution and destruction of the church. Nero was set on persecuting the church and hounding the church out of existence. This was a tremendous hardship for the people of God, who felt the full force of Nero's wrath and who feared that their death was imminent. And so Peter, as he writes here, he does so to a people, the very same people, who were under great hardship and suffering for their faith. They were being robbed of their very lives, their livelihoods, their homes, their freedoms were under threat. And so it is to such people that Peter addresses his words to. And as we continue this series in looking at the subject of the hurt that Christians can endure, I want us to look at this subject, especially of how to handle these hardships. Hardships in the home. Hardships in the office, hardships in health and finance, in trial and in pain, whatever it may be. Peter lays before us some glorious truths as to how we may handle these hardships. Because, folks, no matter who we are or what stage of life we may be at, now or at a time yet future, we will endure hardships as well. The first thing I want us to notice here from the writings of Peter is the afflictions to be expected. The afflictions to be expected. Peter writes to these Christians who were experiencing hardship and trial in their lives. And he does so to remind them that
The Christian life is not a bed of ease. As the people of God, we are not exempt from hardship and trouble. The Lord Himself, speaking to His disciples, He said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." And this truth that afflictions are to be expected is something that Peter wants to remind the people of. But not only remind them, but then go on to tell them and seek to instruct them as to how they can deal with it. He says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as some strange thing." As we think about these afflictions, I want you to see the reality of them. The reality of these afflictions. Look at verse number 6. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Though now for a season, if need be. Peter reminds the people of God that there is a reality and a necessity for such afflictions, if need be. If it be that hardships come into our Christian life, they are real, but they are not without meaning and not without purpose. If need be, Peter is reminding them that they have a purpose. In the providential purpose of God, there are hardships that we must face. In the plan of God, the all-wise God, there is a purpose for what God is doing. Dear child of God, in 2021, you may have endured hardships, great trials. We read of that in verse number 7, the trial of your faith. And the word trial there in verse number 7 means of being tried in a hot furnace, that metal being tried and being removed of all the impurities and being made pure. You see, folks, in the reality of our sufferings and our hardships, we've got to realize and understand that God is doing something. They are not without meaning. They are not without purpose. There are no accidents in the plan of God for our lives. We don't read in Job, "Behold, he taketh away, and who can hinder him? And who will say to him, what doest thou?" If need be, our hardships, our afflictions, our trials, our burdens, in them there is a purpose, and in them there is a plan. Not only the reality of these afflictions, but look back in verse number 6, and we see also the severity of them. "Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." You're in heaviness of them. Heaviness. This is not something that is light. These are things that weigh heavy upon us. These hardships weigh us down constantly and continually. It speaks of great grief and great pain. In fact, it's the same term that is used of the Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane when he began to be very sorrowful. It speaks of something which is great, something which is severe. And remember, folks, Peter was writing to Christians who were not just having a bad day. They were in severe heaviness. Their afflictions were great. The heaviness of their heart was not some light affliction. I know that in this congregation, there are many heavy hearts. I know that those watching online, there are many heavy hearts today because of the hardships. The pain is immense, the darkness is deep, the trial is severe. And like David, you say, "All night make I my bed to swim, my water, my couch with my tears." These people were in great heaviness of heart.
the reality of these afflictions, the severity of these afflictions, but we see as well the variety of them. In verse number 6 again, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That word manifold means many. In fact, it means many-colored, multicolored. You know, the amazing thing is that Paul uses the very same term on over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verse number 10. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, he says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So he talks here in chapter 1 about the manifold temptations or troubles or hardships, but then he also talks using the same term about the manifold grace of God. You see, just as our troubles and trials are varied and different, God's grace is sufficient to meet whatever we are called to pass through. His grace is enough. His grace is such that no matter how varied or how much of a variety there may be, there's always grace enough. No matter how diverse our hardships may be, God's grace is always enough for us. Dear believer, throughout your life, your hardships may have been varied. They may have been plentiful. They may have been diverse, yet for every grief, for every trial, there was grace. Sufficient grace. And for whatever you've had to pass through, and whatever you will have to pass through in the days ahead, God's grace is matched to your trial. There is the reality, the severity, the variety of them. But I want you to see as well, there is the brevity of them. In verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Now for a season. It literally means for a little time. And remember that when such terms are used in Scripture, they are in relation not to time but to eternity. In comparison to the vast ages of eternity, our hardships are but for a season. And as you pass through a time of darkness, which may seem to last forever, remember there'll be a day when all trouble and trial and burdens and pressures will cease. I know that when you're going through a season of hardship, a time of testing, it seems like it's eternal. But Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said that affliction may be lasting, but it is not everlasting. John Newton said, it is well worth standing a while in the fire for such an opportunity of experiencing and exhibiting the power and faithfulness of God's promises. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Little phrase that has been much my heart, and I know the hearts of others over these past number of months and years. And it came to pass. In the furnace of affliction, in the crucible of trouble, it will all come to pass. The afflictions to be expected. We are not to think that we are immune from the trials and the burdens and the hardships of life. They're real. They're severe. They're painful. They're many. They're varied. But not only the afflictions to be expected, I want us to come now a little further and see now the attitude to be exhibited. As we endure hardship, as we pass through times of trial and trouble, Peter brings before us here an attitude that we should adopt, a frame of mind that will help us to handle these afflictions that we will be caused to pass through. And as we do so, as we look at these matters,
here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Remember that Paul is not in some sort of morale talk or some sort of motivational speech. Rather, this is a godly approach and attitude to adopt and to exhibit. The first attitude is that of development. Development. Look at verse 7. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. The trial of our faith being more precious than gold. You see, Peter is reminding these people through a time of great hardship in their life that the Lord is developing their faith. Through the hardships, through this time of great persecution that they were under at the hands of Nero, the Lord was developing their faith. The Lord was strengthening their faith. Just as those old rolls of camera film that you used to leave in to the chemist and got a few days later, they're developed in the dark. And how often our faith is developed more in the dark days of life than in the days of sunshine and joy. And how often is it that in the hardships we realize just how much we need the Lord? Just how much we need the sweet presence of the Lord in the hard times that we lean more and more on the Lord? Stephen Charnock said that we often learn more under the rod that strikes us than the staff that comforts us. And often in the dark days of hardship and pain, our faith develops, our faith grows. The late John Blanchard said, I have learned more from life's trials than I have learned from life's triumphs. How true is that? Our faith develops in the dark days of hardship. We've got to understand that. Not only an attitude of development, but also an attitude of devotion. You see, whenever we see that our faith is being developed in the trials, then it'll lead us to love the Lord all the more. Look at verse 8. Whom have I not seen, you love. You love. Sadly, when hardships come, when trials come, people can wander from God, people can blame God. But Peter here is saying we should love the Lord all the more, realizing that He's doing something. This love, this greater love for the Lord comes from an awareness that the Lord will never allow anything to happen to His child or to His people that is not for our good. Even though the hardships and through those times when the burdens would press hard upon us, the Lord is working it all for our good. He who is our Heavenly Father knoweth that we have need of all these things. It was Mr. Spurgeon who said that God is too kind to be unkind, too wise to be mistaken. Dear believer, today God will never cause you a needless tear. And as we journey through the hardships of life, realizing that our hands are in the grip of the Master's hands, that our lives are planned by the Lord, that He is working all things out, we should love the Lord more. Never allow the hardships to dim our love for the Lord. Never allow the troubles to dim our love for the Lord. Never allow the hardships to dampen our love for Christ. But rather, in the midst of the trials, lift our hearts and our lives in love and worship to Him. Whom have I not seen, ye love? O God, give us a greater love for Him, that we might lean on Him all the more. That brings us to another attitude, not only the development and the devotion, but also the dependence. Verse 8 again.
whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing. Here's the dependence that we are to adopt, the attitude of dependence, of trust, of faith on the Lord. You see, when we love the Lord more, we will trust the Lord more, we'll lean upon him more. And this faith goes very much hand in hand with a greater love for the Lord. Because when you love someone more, you'll trust them more. When you realize that someone is working all things together for your good, you will love them more and you will trust them more. In fact, in these verses, there are three different ideas and three different thoughts brought out to us. In verse number 3, it talks about hope. Verse number 8 talks about love. Verse number 9 talks about faith. And you see, there's a very clear connection between all of those. Because faith and love will strengthen our hope. The greater we love the Lord, the more we'll trust him. The more we'll depend upon him. The more we'll see that he is in control. Griffith Thomas gives a great description of this in his commentary. He says that faith rests on the past, love works in the present, and hope presses towards the future. Or faith looks backward and upward, love looks outward, and hope looks forward. Whenever we have a greater love for the Lord, we'll have a greater trust for him. We'll have a greater faith in him. We'll trust him all the more. Whom having not seen you love, in whom now you, though ye see him not, yet believing. And in the dark days of life, we're called to trust the Lord all the more. In the hardships of life, we're called to depend upon him all the more. Believe him. Another attitude that Peter brings before us here in verse number 8 is that of delight. The end of the verse says, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Remember, he's just talked about the trial of our faith in verse 7. And now he comes in verse 8 to say, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It seems to go against the natural reaction of how we would respond when we find ourselves in hardships, that we would rejoice. But Peter is saying here that we do not rejoice over the circumstances, but rather that we rejoice despite the circumstances. You see, this brings us to a more fundamental aspect of our faith and our Christian life. Our joy is not founded or grounded in our circumstances. Our joy is not grounded in the situations that we are called to pass through. Our joy is founded in the one we love, in the one we trust, in Christ. Whom have I not seen you love? In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We rejoice in Christ, not in our circumstances. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. How is this possible? How is it possible when we're in the furnace of affliction, when we're enduring the hardships, how can we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory? Let me suggest to you, we can joy in God's saving power. God's saving power. John says, rejoice. Why? For your names are written in glory. Dear child of God today, rejoice that we belong to the Lord. Our names are written in heaven.
Not only joy in God's saving power, but joy as well in God's sovereign power. Donald Campbell, the former president of Theological College in America, said that joy is a deep and abiding inner rejoicing which is promised to those who abide in Christ. It does not depend on circumstances, but rather it rests in God's sovereign control of all things. We can have joy today in our hearts, knowing that while we do not understand what God is doing or why God is doing it, yet we can have joy in the knowledge that He's in control of it all. There's joy in God's saving power. There's joy in God's sovereign power. But I would suggest to you as well, we can joy in God's sustaining power. The Lord says, I'll strengthen thee. I'll help thee. I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Dear child of God, we do not rejoice because of our hardships, but rather because of all that we have in Christ. Our position in Him. All that He does for us. He saves us. He's in control of us. And He keeps us. And how in the midst of the affliction we must always see our joy, not to be in what's going on around us or what's going on within us, but rather with the hope that we have in Christ. The attitude to be exhibited. It is to be an attitude of development. The Lord is working through the hardships. Our faith is growing in the hardships. And as a result, there should be an attitude of devotion that we love the Lord all the more. An attitude of dependence that we trust upon Him all the more. And an attitude of delight. The afflictions to be expected. The attitude to be exhibited. But finally, as we close, I want us to see now the assurance to be enjoyed. The assurance to be enjoyed. As we handle the hardships of life, there is an assurance here. In many ways, this follows on from what we've been thinking. Look at verse number 9. It says, receiving the end or the goal or the outcome of your faith. What is that? Even the salvation of your souls. Remember the context again. The afflictions, the hardships, the trials. Remember none of those things. None of those things can do anything to destroy your salvation. No matter how fierce the trial may be, no matter how great it may be, it will never be able to separate you from God. There is an assurance of our salvation, the assurance of sins forgiven. Look at verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God. Who are kept by the power of God. You see, our salvation is not dependent on our situations. The Lord not only saves us, but the Lord also keeps us. We have an assurance of sins forgiven. That's to be enjoyed. But there is another assurance that we should look at. We also have the assurance of a home in heaven. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What a glorious inheritance we have in Christ today. It's incorruptible. It'll never change. It'll never decay. It's undefiled. There's not a strain of impurity or imperfection there, because our inheritance is in heaven, in that place of sinless perfection. Oh, today we live in a world where everything is perishable. Everything changes. Our lives change. Our homes change. Our families change. Our health change. changes. This is a corrupt world. This is a decaying world. This world one day will pass away, and all the environmental lobby and the green lobby will do nothing to stop it. But our inheritance and glory is sure today. That word reserved in verse 4, it means to be protected, guarded. There is nothing that is able to remove that inheritance for us. We will never be disinherited. Our home in heaven is reserved. It is preserved. The Lord says, I go to prepare a place for you. And then he says, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In that place where faith gives way to sight, in that home that will never decay or fade, in that place of great reunions with what loved ones gone on before, but most of all in that place where Christ is. What a joy to behold his face, to be in his presence, to worship and to adore him for all eternity. What must it be to be there? Dear believer, today, you know Christ, you love Christ, you're saved by the blood of Christ. One day you will be there. That inheritance, it is reserved for you. In that place where all the hardships of this world will be forgotten. The pains, the burdens, the troubles. They'll never enter that place of resplendent beauty. In that place where there'll be no more sadness, no more sickness, no more separation, no more sorrow, no more dying or crying. Thank God in heaven there are no hospitals. Praise God in heaven there are no cemeteries. Because heaven is that place of no corruption and no decay. A place where there'll be no more hurt. Place will there be no more hardships. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. How do we handle the hardships of life that can hurt us and pain us? Well, the afflictions to be expected, think it not strange. There's the attitude to be exhibited, trust the Lord, obey the Lord, love the Lord. And the assurance to be enjoyed. Keep your eyes on the prize that is before us. One day, we shall see the Lord. We'll be with him for all eternity. And all the troubles, all the hardships, all the burdens of this world will be passed in that land that is fairer than day. This world's not our home, folks. We're passing through, but for a little time. And then for all eternity, we'll be with Christ. But as we live and as we go through this journey of life, may we love the Lord more. May we lean upon him more. May we seek to serve him more and do what we can. As we close this morning, let me ask you, do you have this assurance? The assurance of sins forgiven. Are you saved today? Do you have the assurance of a home in heaven? If not, then today come. Come and receive Christ as your Savior. And he will be that friend to you that sticketh closer than any brother through every hardship, every pain, and every trial.